we can open the floor for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Manal. The topic of GAC participation and in cross-community processes and policy development work is one that the GAC has discussed at I think the last three or four meetings, so it continues to be a sort of standing agenda item in some ways, but it has been included here to try and provide some very basic data on GAC participation, and also to note that there do seem to be some issues, or there were in the first few months of this calendar year, some issues relating to the community as a whole, with a number of these cross-community groups and subgroups having to cancel meetings due to lack of a quorum. But that's not the GAC's fault, but there may be an issue to discuss with other members of the community when the GAC has those meetings later in the week. So to go through the issues as identified in the brief, firstly, the concern was to seek a feedback from those GAC members who are participants in either of these types of groups and see if you have views on what is working, what is not working with regard to how your participation as GAC members helps public policy issues advanced within ICANN. Now, I should stop at this point and say that I apologise to new members here for lapsing into ICANN speak so early in the meeting. Yes, PDPs and CCWGs are part of the language, and you will see them a lot during this and hear them a lot during this week. A PDP is a policy development process. It's an exercise run by ICANN's two major supporting organisations, those dealing with country codes, names at the top level, and generic names. And the PDP process is one which is led primarily by that supporting organisation, but with participation from any community member interested. The discussion that we've just been having concerning geographic names, for example, is a part of a policy development process run in that case by the GNSO. That's the generic name supporting organisation. A CCWG is a cross-community working group. It does not have a specific home. We're within ICANN's many happy family groups. It is intended, as the name implies, to be a genuinely open working group, open to all members of the community on issues that cut across those silo-type groups, if you like, which is a lot of issues these days. The GAC has participants in both, but they have slightly different rules of participation, but there is a long history of GAC engagement, and I'd be happy to answer more specific questions later on if you'd like to talk to me about any of these apparently arcane terms which people will be using for the next few days. So returning to what we're trying to put to you for discussion today, the second issue was to get some feedback on whether the current guidelines that the GAC has adopted for participation in, for GAC participation in the cross-community group, working groups are actually working effectively. We provided a link at the bottom of the brief to where those guidelines are. The GAC adopted them, I think, around about 2 years ago, but we've never actually looked at how they're working and whether they need to be revisited. And finally, as I said earlier, there is an opportunity, if you wish, to raise some of these broader questions about numbers and of participation and is the system really working across ICANN, to raise those with the GAC's bilateral discussions with other supporting organisations and advisory committees. The attachment to the brief did list current GAC participants and observers in all of the cross-community groups that we could find. A number of them appear to be out of date, and I just ask you please to have a look at the attachment in your leisure time, of which you have a reasonable amount, I think, during the week, and where some of your former colleagues who you know have left the GAC, and I know have left the GAC, and are still part of those groups, please advise the Secretariat whether you wish them to be removed as participants or replaced by somebody else from your government, or indeed if in the unlikely event they wish to continue as a sort of a hobby in whatever their new job is, in which case they would need to amend their statement of interest. There are rules concerning their participation and statements of interest. The GAC Secretariat can't do things unilaterally, so I'd appreciate your advice on updating that attachment when you, if you look at it and find names of colleagues, of your former colleagues who've left the GAC. So please help us to update that. As far as GAC participation is concerned, we noted that the guidelines that were agreed some time ago do need a look. Now, the last thing that I'll draw to your attention before handing back to Manal is that I did a short and very basic analysis of GAC participation in some of the major cross-community groups, and you see that table on the screen. And all I looked at was from September up until late February, that is before the Abu Dhabi meeting until just before this meeting, and looked at the crude attendance data there. That's just numbers participating in intersessional calls of those groups. There's no way to actually measure, you know, how much or how little GAC members actually intervened, but that's the basic participation for the record of those groups. And they show that, firstly, for the accountability cross-community working group, which the GAC will be discussing on its agenda later in the week, there are nominally 19 GAC members. The average GAC attendance since September last year has been 5 on their plenary calls. For a couple of their subgroups, the one on diversity, in which a number of GAC members have been quite active. In fact, there are 8 members of that subgroup, which has now finished its work, dealing with diversity, but of an average of 2 have attended since September last year. On the jurisdiction subgroup, which, as you're aware, is of particular interest to a number of GAC members, although there are 9 GAC members, the average attendance there has been 3 since September last year. For the policy development process, work on new GTLD policies, their plenary group, which is dealing with overarching issues such as Jorge mentioned earlier, should there be another applicant guidebook, and indeed should there be another round of new GTLDs, and if so, when? Fairly fundamental questions. There are 7 GAC members who are recorded in that group, and the average attendance on the plenary calls recently has been 1. WorkTrack 5, which we have discussed extensively this afternoon, 16 members. I think that's up to 17 now because another member recently joined. An average of 5 have attended since the work group was formed. And finally, the cross-community work group on new GTLD auction proceeds, which is, again, going to be discussed in a separate agenda item here in the GAC later in the week. That's dealing with setting up a mechanism for distributing somewhere between $200 and $300 million that ICANN is currently sitting on as a result of auctions of contested strings of names from the last GTLD round. The GAC is a chartering organisation of that cross-community group. There are 5 GAC members, but an average of 2 have been attending. So I put those up not as with any particular judgment, of course, but I think it's helpful just to do that analysis from time to time, and the purpose was to put to you, is this system working? And if it's not, you know, how could it be improved for the benefit of not just you as GAC members, but for the broader interests of the GAC and public policy aspects of what ICANN does? So that's the a rather long overview of the brief that we prepared, Manal. So back to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom, for the brief, for the analysis, and for compiling all those figures and extracting all this from the website. So it's a really compound issue. So we really would like to see more GAC members volunteering to participate on those working groups. We need those who express interest to really participate actively, and we need active participants to report back to the GAC so that the whole GAC is kept informed and is kept up to date and is kept alerted on anything that needs to be discussed within the GAC. As Tom, and also to keep us posted on any replacements, because as Tom mentioned, many of the GAC members who are listed as GAC participants have already left the GAC. So we need to find a mechanism to have this working. And just to give you the other side of the discussion, because yesterday we had SOAC chairs meeting with the CEO. So it's a meeting between the ICANN CEO and the chairs of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. And one of the things that was brought up was the workload and the fatigue of the volunteers, and sometimes we call it the burnout of the volunteers. So this was brought up during the discussion, and I think it was mutually agreed among everyone that this needs to be considered collectively. So I mean, the GNSO said they had a scary Excel sheet of everything they have to do, and the CCNSO said they have an equally scary Excel sheet. And then I got to say that we are at the receiving end, so we have the super scary Excel sheet, which is basically a union of everything they come up with. So there is initial agreement to look at the prioritization of issues across the organization and across the cross community. But I mean, meanwhile, we have to try to organize ourselves and keep our voices heard in the discussions. So I'll leave it at this and open the floor for feedback on experience from members who participate, suggestions on how we can help from members who do not participate. So, Olga, please.
Thank you, Manal. One suggestion that I would have is, as you said, we have a super, super scary list of things to review. And I have these conversations with some colleagues sometimes in the region, informally, just because I want the region to really be aware of what we are doing. Perhaps it's too focused on one issue. Maybe not everyone. I see the list, and I am like in three cross-community working groups and some other things. I couldn't, for example, I would like to, but I had no time to participate in the PDP, new GTLD, subsequent procedures, because honestly, I had no more time, and I had to skip some calls. When you skip a call, you can listen to the recording or the transcribing. Sometimes that is less time than being in the call at the time that is requested. That's something that is very useful. And my advice, perhaps, for new members of the GAC would be to focus on one issue that is on their interest or more interested to that government, and try to focus there only on more on one issue, and then with the time they can get acquainted of other important things that we discussed. So once they get this training, that can be exported to other issues. That's some advice that I may give.
Thank you, Olga, very much. And yeah, I mean, we don't need more than that. If every, I mean, if a GAC member focuses only on one issue, but we have several members that are focusing each on just one issue, but reporting back to the GAC so that we are all well informed and on track, this would be marvelous. So we are not asking for more than one issue. But yeah, this is a good suggestion. And so any more comments or suggestions? So I hope you can think it over. I hope you can go back to the brief, and if you have any comments, even if at a later stage, we can discuss it over the mailing list as well. And as Tom mentioned, if you see colleagues who have already left the GAC, so please let us know if there is going to be a replacement or those need to be removed from the participants list. And please consider the issues that you would like to take to be a prime contact for the GAC on this topic, and we will be happy to receive expressions of interest. So if there are no further requests for the floor, okay, then we keep taking more breaks. So, yeah, please, Tom. So, yeah, so Tom brought to my attention a comment in the Adobe chat from Jorge. So would you like to make your intervention, or we can read the comment here?
Geonames.
Yes, please, on geonames, yeah. Jorge, please, go ahead.
Thank you. As it was related to geonames, I didn't want to raise it in the plenary. But as you give me the floor, I think that just to react to the discussion on the participation in CCWG and PDPs, and being one of those who try to participate somehow, sometimes as much as possible, I would say that the guidelines we have for CCWGs, for our participation in CCWGs, are quite useful. I think that they have been working, especially for the CCWG accountability. Could be good, perhaps, to reinforce a little bit its effect in other CCWGs. And I think it would be also useful to extend them as much as possible, as feasible, to our participation in PDPs. Although the way they work is different, at least we could organize ourselves in a similar fashion. And one example that I haven't been, for instance, following too closely, but where the participation of the GAC seemed to me rather effective, is in the WHOIS discussions, in the WHOIS PDP, where this effort used to be spearheaded by the Public Safety Working Group. And I think that is a good model when you have a working group that is not having its discussions on its own as a silo, but which is really directed to also participating in the community. That gives us a more efficient and streamlined way of making input into other community work. So I leave it by that, and thank you for giving me the floor.
Thank you, Jorge, and sorry to put you on the spot, but thank you for the valuable contribution. And yes, thanks to all GAC members who participated to the GDPR discussion and to the submissions that we have been sending on a very short notice and within a very tight time frame. So this is something, yeah, to be praised, so that we're saying both sides. So any requests or comments? Okay. If not, then this concludes our GAC discussion on GAC engagement in cross-community working groups and policy development processes on Saturday, 10 March. And we will proceed with the following agenda item at the hour. So we're having like 25 minutes break, and then we'll be back at the hour at 5. Thank you.